What about the water?
You can build this significant buildings out of ice.
It's not water.
I know, you can't
talk about actually.
It's not buildings, because when it melts, it throws it in. You know, Frosty the Snowman, he's not there no more.
True. Okay.
You feel that? It's the loudness in this area.
Alright, where's the recorder?
Oh my god. Done.
So we learned, two of your sighters yesterday, you have a raya that Hashem could turn. You have a, not the raya, you could see that Hashem turns dirt into flesh because the rodent, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, created, and the derech of it, the derech of its development is to turn dirt into flesh. And you also see Hashem could generate life instantaneously from the when the rain falls on top of the mountain. These chilazines, these creatures, these like either the worms or they're like some kind of crustacean, I don't know, some kind of little worm. These creatures, they pop out like right away, automatically. Give those to Yisaitis. And again, this Yisaitis that Chiyas HaMesim is not just something that Kadosh Baruch Hu does. Chiyas HaMesim is the world. Hashem created the world in order for it to get to the stage of Kriyas HaMesim. Everything in this world is engineered to bring the world closer to Kriyas HaMesim. So that's why you'll find, you know, if the world has Kriyas HaMesim in it, you're going to find examples of it in front of your nose. In one of the examples of Kriyas HaMesim, the brother of Vilna Gaon, of Avram, the brother of Vilna Gaon, he said, you see it from a tree. A tree dies, and it's dead, it will stay dead. As long as that tree is there, it's going to stay dead. If you want it to live, so you chop it down. And then all of a sudden, from the stump of the old tree, there'll be like a small sapling that grows out of it. If you don't chop it down, it will not regrow. It will stay there. Petrified tree. So you see Tchias HaMesim from trees. Let's go weiter. Amalei Humina. So again, we have this Min. And Min, Minim, they put themselves in a different category. They're in a different, they have a different reality. And their reality is a direct contradiction to our reality. So he said, L'gviya ben psisa. Gviya was in a psisa. Gviya ben psisa was a hunchback.
So maybe he was talking to Gviya ben?
Yeah. He was a hunchback. He said, Vayim l'chayim chayim. Woe is to them, to the Rishayim. Down recent that you say Mesichayim. Dead people come back to life. Woe is the Rishayim. He's calling the Min is calling anyone that doesn't believe in their value system Rishayim. You know, we have in our value system, we have Tzadikim and Rishayim. They have Tzadikim and Rishayim. By us, the definition of a tzaddik is someone that believes in Tchias HaMesim, and a rosh is someone that denies Tchias HaMesim. And by them, someone that believes in Tchias HaMesim is a rosh. It's a mirror image. Tamisim Mesichayim. You see dead people come back to life. Techayim Mesi. Live people die. Tamisichayim. Dead people come back to life. So he's telling, the Min is telling Gavir ben Sisa, you've got it backwards. Dead people don't live, live people die. Get it, you know, you should get it straight. You're not straight. The word Russia, Rishi, does not mean wicked. Rishi means crooked. Wicked people are crooked. The Gemara talks about, figs. They're called Te'eni Rishi'i. Figs that are Rishayim. They don't grow, they grow in a distorted manner. So it's a wicked fig. What'd the fig do wrong? He's a wicked fig? It means distorted. The Rasha means distorted. Which explains how the Min called Gviya Bamsisa Rasha. You're distorted. You believe that dead people come back to life? You're distorted.
He's a hunchback.
Maybe he meant it as an insult
because
he was crooked.
Also, well, you said she is because he was crooked. Cool. Amalei! So Gavir Ben Sish said back to the men, woe to you, Rishayim! You're Rasha. Because you say dead people don't live. You're in trouble. I'm not in trouble. I'm cool. I don't care. Yeah. You're in trouble. Mesa Leichayim. Delay Havi. Someone that was nothing. Loy Havi means someone that never was. Loy Havi, never was. Chaye, God could bring someone to life. So we're again talking about the original creation of man.
Childbirth?
What?
This is talking about childbirth, or this is talking about Adam?
Well, Rashi is talking about childhood. And the Shama coming into this world. Delay Havi, the Havi is someone that was already in this world. Chaye, certainly, he will come back to life. So it's the same you said, the Tchias HaMesim, you know from a Kal V'Chaimer, from the creation of a person. Amalei, so the men said back, the men sort of got a little bit miffed. He was miffed. Chayivayiko is like, you're calling me a Rasha? Ikaimna, if I want, Bo'itna B'cha, I'll give you a kick, I will kick you. He threatened to kick Gavia Ben Sisa. Upashit nalak muscha, and I'm going to straighten out your hunchback, your crookedness. Rashi says he was trying to get him angry. He said, I'm going to straighten you out. Oh, am I going to straighten you out? I'll give you a kick, I'll straighten you out. Call me no Rasha. I'm a lay. Imata Isukain. He said, you know, bring it on. He said, if you do this, Imata Isukain. Reife Umantikr, you'll be called an expert doctor, an expert physician. Uskar Habitutl, you deserve to get paid very well for it. Shragamar.
He does what?
You'll take money, you'll take a lot. The next Gemara this is a Gemara. It's the Gemara of all Gemaras. Tana Rabbana. The Yesen V'Abba V'Nisan, the 24th day of Nisan. Isnatlu, they were removed. Dimisnoi, claimants. Dimisnoi is like claimants. People that came to claim that the land belongs to them. By Yamima Hema's Manazer, you know. There's always people that say that the Jews are squatters, that the Eretz Yisrael doesn't belong to us, it belongs to them. Isnatilu Dimisnoi. The claimants were removed. We got rid of them. We got rid of them on the 24th day of Nisan. It's a simcha. This is a Megillah's time. Because at the 24th day of Nisan, one is not allowed to fast, to eulogize. It's a simcha. It's a yomtov. Kav Dal Nisan is a yomtov. What's the story? Kishabob in Africa, the Africans came. Martin Luther King did. London and Israel. They wanted to bring the Bnei Yisrael to judgment. Lefnei Alexander's Mokdon, Alexander of Macedonia. He was the ruler of the whole world. This was their opportunity to get out of Israel. You know, when the world was divided up in different parcels, and the Jews are there, how do you get it? But you have one governor, one king over the whole world. So then all the nations will come to him and they'll tell him that the Jews are going to have him. They're thieves, they're crooks. This is an opportunity. Amulai, they told him Eretz Canaan Shalonui. What does Eretz Canaan mean? Canaan. Canaan is the father of the people of Africa. And they bring a raya from the Torah. Eretz Canaan Legvulasal. Eretz Canaan and its boundaries. So the Torah is mapping out the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, called Eretz Canaan. The Torah says it's ours, we want it. What's our deed? The deed is the Torah. Got it? Knan and Knan, Avu and Dahanu in Shihavi. Knan is our father. It's third person. It's their father. The Africans are descended from Knan. They're in big trouble. you bring a riot to the God, to the emperor of the whole world from the Torah of the Jews that the land that they're living in belongs to the Canaanim? You're in big trouble.
I think it says there that even when they're mapping out Eretz Yisrael that it goes to the Canaanim.
Well, why would the Torah call it Eretz Canaan?
Eretz Canaan, because that's the name of the land.
That's not the way the Torah works. The Torah works with the...
It says that Abraham should go to Eretz
Canaan. Torah is...
It says you have Canaan. And
the Torah is eternal. The Torah is eternal. If it's written in the Torah that it's Eretz Canaan by the boundaries, that means it's... When it's talking about the Jews living there, it calls Eretz Canaan. That's eternal. That never goes away. Torah's not a history book. It's Sintu. It's called Eretz Canaan, right? Yeah. That Torah, every part of the Torah is there for eternity. It's called eternity when the Jews are there. That means it's called Eretz Canaan. The Africans are right, by the way. But they didn't know it.
How's Eretz Canaan?
It's called Eretz Canaan.
They were right about what?
That the Eretz Canaan means it's there.
If it was there, it's not there anymore.
Really? Torah is eternal.
I understand that. So it'll be called Canaan's land forever.
For a reason.
The Jews take it over and the Jews are still there. Then the
there's not there's a reason. Amul Gviya ben Pesisa la Chachamim. Gviya ben Pesisa said to the Chachamim. Tanuli Rishus, give me permission, grant me permission. I'm going to go to judgment with them. See, Gviya ben Pesisa was a Chacham. And he was able to talk to answer them in a way that they would be able to, they'd have to accept it. You could defend your point, but to defend your point in a way that the opponent is defeated, then you have to have a certain chachma. Lefnei Alexander smoked in front of Alexander Macedonia. What's the advantage of sending Gviya ben Pesisa? He wasn't known as one of the Gedolei Hadar. He was a wise person, but he wasn't known as one of the Gedolei Hadar. What's the advantage of sending him? If they overcome me, if they emerge, if they're victorious over me. So Amruz, it'll be said, Hedjit Shavanu Nitzachtem. Okay, he wasn't the biggest gun. You know, you're able to win him in a debate, but we didn't send in the big people. So it won't be such a bazaar. Ramini and Itzeh Chaisam, and if I beat them, Amulham, then they won't give me the credit. Oh, it's beautiful. And they'll say, Terrorist Meishan Itzachtem. They'll say that the terror gets the credit. They won't give me the credit because I'm not such a big, important person. So it's a win-win situation if I lose. So it's not such a shameful event to Klal Yisrael. If I win, then I won't get the credit. The Torah will get a credit. So it's Kiddush Shem Shemayim all around. Let's go for it. Last time we said, this is you. Yeah. V'alach, he went, v'dani ma'am. Amalehem, he said to the Africans, Me'echan atem mevi'in raya, where are you bringing your proof from? That it's yours. Amalehem in the Torah. What do you mean? We have the best proof. We brought from the Torah. Amalehem, he said to them, okay, you bring a ride from the Torah, I respect it. I'm going to do the same thing as you. I will only bring a ride from the Torah. Shenema. As it says. Vayemer, and he said, Arur Knan, this is God. God says, cursed is Knan. This is when they came out of the table. Cursed is Knan. Eved Avadim, he will be a slave to slaves, Yil Echav, and he will be a slave to his brothers. So he's saying, Knan will be a slave to the children of Shem. And Yefes. Right? Eved Jekan Nechasim. And Eved acquires Nechasim. Eved Lemi. First of all, who owns the Eved?
The master.
Nechasim Lemi. Who owns everything the Eved owns? The master. So Gviya ben Pesisa says, you're right. It says in the Torah that Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Canaan. It also says in the Torah that you are...
Canaan is ours.
Yes.
Canaan
so
is
go enjoy it. Go enjoy it as well. You won't have it for too long. It's not yours. It's ours. V'le'ayid! And not only that, furthermore, there's many years that you didn't... You weren't You weren't in slavery to us. You know, you were a slave. You're supposed to be our slave. What, you know, where's my, you know, where's the slavery? There's so many years that the Africans did not serve the Jewish people as slaves. What about, you owe us? You're trying to take away our rights as well. You owe us. I'm Alexander, it's Malka. So Alexander the King, it's interesting, he switches to Malka over here, to the Mokdon. Hakzir Lechuva. They told the Africans, respond. You'll be given an opportunity to respond. Amulai, they said, we can't. They said, give us 3 days. Naslam is mad. He gave them the time, 3 days. But could they check for Lamata Chuva? And they didn't find an answer. Miyad, immediately, Baku, they ran away. Because if they wouldn't run away, they'd be in hot water. For bringing a frivolous lawsuit in front of the emperor of the world, is guaranteed to have adverse reaction to one's health. Vinikus of the Sayan, and they left the fields Kishen Zeruas, they were already planted. They were planted. The Kameyam and the vineyards Kishen Tuais also were planted. And the Isis on Ashriya, so I said, that was Shemitah. Because that was it. That's called a great success. Because during Shemitah, Jewish people are not allowed to plant things. And they could only eat from what they stored up the previous year.
What about from a Goyim?
Or for things that Goyim planted. The only thing is, when Goyim plant things, they want to keep it for themselves. But these Africans did not keep it for themselves.
Are you allowed to get a guy to work for Shemitah? Since everything the guy does is yours.
No. Jewish land cannot be worked on Shemitah.
The same thing, that's what I'm saying.
It's
Jewish land, though. Canaan is Jewish land no matter what you're going to say. We just predict Canaan's automatically Jewish land.
I hear
so
you.
So they won't be able to eat from that stuff.
I hear you. They were. That's a very good question. I think you're going to have to wait till we explain this Gemara to get the answer to that question. There's more.
I don't get it. What were they thinking when they said they're just going to say it was a head yot? Maybe that's the only chance to answer them. Oh, it's just a head yot. They're not going to get away with
it
that.
It was their choice.
You know what I'm saying? The head yot's not a good argument because then Alexander wouldn't care.
It diminishes the Kalashim Shemai. No, they won't win the case because of it.
Right now, Alexander might never give them a second chance.
No, it's just that you don't want the Gadol Hador to Chas V'Shalom to be proven wrong. It's a Kalashim Shemai.
Was he the Gadol Hador?
No, that's why he felt it.
That's why they sent him.
Yeah, they wouldn't win the case. They
would lose Eretz Yisrael. They took the chance of losing Eretz Yisrael. Or they believe someone.
If they don't show up, then they certainly lose Eretz
Yisrael. Why would they say that if he
send the Gadol then?
Lost. If he lost, then it wouldn't be such a big thing. But if he won, not only would the kavod be given to the Torah, they could say not even our God.
Yeah, but that's
Torah
bragging. You don't want to do that.
No, it wasn't me. It was the Torah. Like, I didn't do anything. All I did was tell them what it says in the Torah. So the Torah gets the credit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like he thought up a brilliant idea.
I understand. There's some off the Torah. Greek, so then
there's some personal credit the Talmud deserves. Right there.
Yeah.
Shufpamachos bo b'nei Mitzrayim lad Yisrael. Egyptians, ah, in Yom Diyamah. The Egyptians came. With me, Alexander's Mokdom. In front of Alexander of Macedonia. Amalai. They said to him, Harihu Aymer. The Mitzrayim, the Egyptians say to Alexander, it says in the Torah, Vashem Rasan Eschein Ha'ambe in Mitzrayim. God placed the favor and the grace of the people in the eyes of the Egyptians. Vayashilim, and he lent them things. It says in the Torah that we lent them things. They never came back. They never brought it back. The Jews ripped us off. They stole. This is a really serious charge. They left Mitzrayim, and then they borrowed things, and they never came back with it. Serious charge. Geneva, how do we understand it?
Didn't we get it from Avram?
The promise was made to Avram, but how do you take somebody's stuff and tell him one thing and do another? First of all, it's Geneva. Second of all, it's lying. It's all kinds of things. There's all kinds of errors in there. They're lying on you to bring it back. How could you do such a thing? How do we understand it? How do we justify it? The Gemara says it's not, the Gemara doesn't have a problem, as we'll see. Tznula the kesev is up, so they want from the Jewish people. The kesev is up, the gold and silver, which you took, return the stuff you borrowed, with compound interest over 800 years or something like that, you know.
And the juice is running.
I'm a gvia b'mpsis l'chachamim. Tznula rishus, treilet. Let me have permission, I'll go, I'll go to court with them, lifnei Alexandros, before Alexander. If I lose, you know, they beat me. I'm going to have you shabbat and attack them. So then the Chil Hashem will be diminished because, okay, you beat Gvir Ben Pesisa. Who's him anyway, you know? But if I overcome them, Imalam, you'll say, Teres Maisha Rabbeinu, attack them. That's what the Teres what did it. Obviously, Gvir Ben Pesisa was someone that the Chachamim knew. He was like a secretive person. He was a Nister.
But if he already
the Chachamim knew that
this is a different charge.
Yeah, but he proved himself in court in front of lots of people that were defeated.
He's still not the good Lador. No, it wasn't him. It was the Torah that did it. All he did was quote a pasuk. It's not much of a trick. The Torah did it. He didn't do it. No. The Torah did it. The Gemara says this. The Torah did it. He didn't have a reputation for being a big person, and he won. So it must be that it was just so easy. The pasuk flew out of the page. He didn't have to work too hard. Nasla rishus. The Gemara says, "Halak v'danim," and he goes and judges with them. Amalehem. So he says to them, "Heichnatam being right. Where's your proof?" I'm going to learn the Torah. The Egyptian said, "From the Torah, says, do you borrow that stuff? You didn't return it." I'm going to have it. He said to them, "I'm also going to bring a raya from the Torah." Shneva. When Moshev b'nei Yisrael, this is like a really, really cool raya. The dwelling of the b'nei Yisrael, as Yashav in Mitzrayim, they lived in Mitzrayim, Shloshim Shana, 30 years. Rabbam Yoshana. They're there for 430 years. I want you to take note that there's three calculations of how long they were in Mitzrayim. One is 430, one is 400, and one is 210. 210 is the actual time they were. 400 is from the time of the birth of Yitzchak, and 430 is from the Brisbane of Besarim, before that came.
7 years before?
Before, way before. Okay, the Yitzchak was 37 years old.
7 years before that?
No.
If Yitzchak was born at 437 should be 430. So 430 is the Bishmina Sarim.
No, if Yitzchak was born at 400.
No, but I'm saying if 400 years before,
and then he was born, 430 is 30 years before he was born.
Oh.
And so they were only mature for 210 years. And he said, Tznulan is Karavaitis, a Shishim Rebbe, give us the salaries. The wages of 600,000 people, Sheshibad in Mitzrayim, that you enslaved in Mitzrayim, Shleishim Shana Rabamashan of 430 years. Now they were only working for 210 years, like Rabbi Zweig said, they were really only working for 100 and something years because until Levi passed away. Until Levi passed away, they weren't working.
Still,
you wanted 430, you know why? Because they're trumping up a charge against the Jews from the Torah. The Torah says you owe us 430. Torah says 430. It says. Alexander Mokhtin. So Alexander Mokhtin says to Mechzir L'tshuva, answer him back. Amalai, they said, Tzulon is mine, we need time. The Egyptians are just as helpless as the Africans, just helpless.
And he was just as trusting as before.
Nasalim's man, but Kublai Matsu, Chuba, they couldn't find me. Yanni Nichus to the sanctions, Ruiz, or Kamekshin, the tours, a Bachu. Rice Hashem, a Shmita, I said, it was a Shmita here.
So the same thing happened.
I mean, we have to talk about this. There's two things we're going to have to talk about.
It's not a problem.
One thing we have to talk about is why is the Shmita keeps popping up? Rishon Pamachas Bob and Ishmael, the Ishmaelites, our cousins. Ishmael.
said Omer.
B'nai Keturah. B'nai Keturah are the children of Avraham Avinu's third wife, I guess.
It was Hagar.
That's one shot. It's one shot that was Hagar. That's not the Pashim shot.
Fine, so it's just another one.
B'nai Yisrael and B'nai Keturah. Lot name Yisrael. These guys, they have the closest claim. They're Mamashe have the closest claim. There's now Alexander's Mokta. I'm going to ask Kanan Shalanu. Mishael Achem. Eretz Yisrael belongs to us and the Jews. This is dangerous. This is dangerous. You know, the Africans come in from the outside. The Egyptians come in from the outside. But Yishmael comes in from the inside. He's a bona fide son of Avraham Avinu.
Not so bona fide when your father throws you out of the house.
It's interesting though. Well, that's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. You're right. You're right. That's what this is all about. And I don't care. Yechsev, Eilu told us Yishmael ben Avram. These are the children of Yishmael, son of Avram. Yechsev, Eilu told us Yitzchak ben Avram. Again, the Torah calls Yishmael ben Avram. That's eternity. That the Torah doesn't make statements about that. That once upon a time he was sent away.
He'll always be Avram's son.
He's Avram's son.
Again.
And Yitzchak is Avram's son. And Hashem gave Eretz Yisrael to Avram. Avram had two sons. So he split it. This is a two-state solution. This is very dangerous. Give me permission to go to court. If they win, you beat somebody that was ordinary. And if I overcome them, so people will say, Imelahem Teres Maisha Ben Yitzchak, it was the Teres Maisha that was Mitzchak. So they gave him Rishus. Halak Vadani Mam, he went to court with them. Amalahem, he told them, where's your proof from to the Ishmaelites and the Bnei Keturah? Amalahem, in the Torah, from the Torah. Amalahem, I've been Yilayav Yiraya Elamir Torah. I'm also only going to be Yiraya from the Torah. Shalom, Rabbi Yitin Avram, is called Shalai Li Yitzchak. Avram took everything that he had and gave it to Yitzchak. Levnei Pilakshim, and to the children of the other wives, Pilakshim, like a concubine, the other wives, like Bnei Yishmael Keturah, Asher Avram Nasna Avram Atanais. Avram gave them presents and sent them away. So Av, a father, Shanasan Agatin, Lebanov. Agatin is like a contract that cuts him out of the will. I don't know what you call it. Agatin is some kind of legal stipulation that he has no share in the will. So father gives this legal document, this legal stipulation to his kids, while he's still alive. And he sent one son away from the other because he doesn't want him to. And he does the legal shmigal. Does he have any claim against his brother? Father took care of him when he was alive.
While he was alive.
As in Avram took care of it, not like as in a will. Avram gave them presents.
Who cares if they
gave him stuff and that was it, and it was goodbye.
Why say he was alive?
Because as opposed to when he's dead.
You can't give anything when he's dead.
Everyone is dead, they have a claim. Because there's no legal contract that gets him out of the
will. You
can't
give anything when he's dead.
Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? Durak.
Durak.
Durak. So Av Shemes Magit in Lebano Bechayev Veshigal Zemei Azaklum Yeshel Zazaklum. Does he have any claim on his brother? It doesn't say what happened. It's very interesting. It doesn't say what happened.
They're so claiming it nowadays.
No, that is scary. No, of course. My Matanis.
Why do we bring this Gemara to them and say, you tried and you failed?
Alexander didn't like that. Right?
It doesn't say what happened.
Okay, but even to the Egyptians or to anybody else, you could say Eretz Yisrael ours, just in this argument.
What if you slept?
Show them this Gemara and they'll have to be quiet.
It doesn't matter. They don't
pray to the UN.
Take it to the UN.
No, we have
the
a
UN is Arabs. Arabs and French people.
You know the famous story?
Is there, no.
They had a UN convocation to determine the fate of the state of Israel and, you know, and implement the two-state solution. And all the Arabs, they get up there and they give their diatribes and they're talking for hours and hours and no one interrupts them. You know, they say what they want. They say they've always been here and the Jews were never here. And even if the Jews were here, they love the Arabs and everything. You know, I hope, you know, the Jews, they get along very well. They go weiter. Then the Jewish representative, he asked permission to speak. He said, I want to tell you a story. He said, when Moses brought the Jews out of Egypt, you know, 4,000 years ago, so then he went up to the mountain to speak to God. He wanted to immerse himself in a ritual bath. He goes into the promised land. He goes into the promised land. Moses goes into the promised land. He wants to go speak to God. He goes and he wants to immerse himself in a ritual bath, a spring from the mountain. Mountain splits aside, spring comes out. Moses removes his garments. He goes into the spring, and he comes back, and his clothes are gone. Some Palestinian stole them. All of a sudden, he's like, whoa, he's like, whoa, quiet, oh, we resent this. What's the problem? He stole them. He said, there were no Palestinians in those days. He said, huh? Huh? He goes, uh-huh?
So idiot.
That's so good. I just sat down.
My matana is, what presents did Avraham Avinu give these children of his?
Oh,
I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Malama Muslim Shem Tuma. He gave them the secret to Kishuf and Shaitim.
Why would he do that?
Tomorrow. So now for today, let's talk a little bit. Rashi says Kishuv and Shaitim. The pasuk says
someone says karate.
Rashi says Kishuv.
Karate. Who plays Rabbi Steiners?
Yeah, actually.
Okay.
I guess.
It says in the pasuk he sent them to the east.
Yeah.
But that, who knows what that means?
Huh?
Oh,
China.
What do you want to talk about? We want to talk about Eretz Canaan and Shemitah.
Also, why did his name change Alexander?
I don't know. We want to talk about Eretz Canaan.
Check Tosfos. This is not Tosfos.
We want to talk about Eretz Canaan.
Everybody agrees with this.
Oh, now I got it, Brian. That was good. There's no Tosfos.
Yeah.
In other lands, we'll start with Gullus. Avi? Avi?
Avenue.
We'll start with other lands. When Goyim live in other lands, they don't have to do anything to have the right to be there. They're there. They're just there. Talking about non-Jews, they're just there, and they belong there, and they don't have to do anything to deserve to stay there. That's their place. And the reason for that is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with Gaim B'derech HaTeva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the natural forces, the natural world, and his reason for creating the natural world is because Gaim also need to be taken care of. There's a purpose. They need to be taken care of. But they live very much within the confines of the natural world. And in the natural world, if you're there, it's yours. Possession is 9/10 of the law. You're there. You just there. You need to bash some heads, move in there, and you're there. And then you're there until somebody else kicks you out. And that's it. See, that's good. You know, why are the Americans in America? Because some boats came over, they wiped out the Indians, and they're there. And since they're bigger and stronger than everybody else, that's why they're there. And they don't have to constantly, they don't have to constantly reacquire their homeland. Yeah, there are threats in countries, but the threat that they have no right to be where they are is one that doesn't come up very often. I mean, there were certain times in history in the Yemais Olam when people were uprooted. Like even, you know, even in World War One and World War Two, and there were conquered people. They left the people by and large where they were. The Jews were the ones who were moved back and forth. The Yugoslavian stayed in Yugoslavia, the Hungarian stayed in Hungary. It wasn't fun. But the right to be where you are, I mean, they have to be somewhere. You conquer a nation. Now you're the king of the mountain. The people you conquered, they got to be somewhere. They may as well be here. So why are the people here? Because they're just there. Why are they there? Because there's no other place. Because if they're not, you know, why are you here? Because I'm not there. Mm-hmm. It's Tarek HaTem. I got to be somewhere. I might as well be here. So I'm here. So I'm going to stay here until someone bigger or stronger wants to get rid of me. We said yesterday, Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Chaim. Eretz Yisrael is the physical manifestation of Olam Haba in this world. There's nothing Derech HaTeva about Eretz Yisrael. There's nothing natural about Eretz Yisrael. Want some examples?
Yeah.
This is a typical example. All the great empires that emerged throughout the ages became big and strong through the Jewish finance ministers, the Jewish population. They're the ones that they levied the most taxes from. They were the most able estate managers. And they became world powers. Spain, England, one after another. Poland.
Germany.
When the Jews were expelled from Spain, Spain was eclipsed as a world power. The great Spanish Armada down the tubes. Nothing. Kaput. Whoever heard of Spain? Poland took the Polish Jewry, the era of Polish Jewry began from then. They took in Jews. They took in Jews because they wanted to harness the power of Jews to their economy. They're money lenders, they know how to get it together. And then when you have money, you can make wars. You make wars and you can be, you know, you can take over countries. You can bash heads, it's good, it's all good. I mean, who was the head of the Federal Reserve in America? Alan Greenspan. And his replacement's also a Jew.
Mm.
In America, yeah, the head of the Federal Reserve. Just the Jews, they know money. They know money.
So agriculture, I heard no one could build up the land until the Jews. Everything?
The state of the economy in Israel, I mean, it's actually, now it's doing better than it's been doing in a long time. But it's a joke. It's a mix of Turkish, British, Turkishism, I don't know, like old Turkish Ottoman laws with some British mandate laws and socialism, communism. There's no free enterprise. There's only one local phone company. There's not a single car manufacturer in the state of Israel. You know why? Because no manufacturer wants to come here. They have to pay too much money to sell. There's so much red tape, and there's so many fees, and there's so much taxes they're going to have to pay. They won't be able to make a profit. So they figure, why should they set up a factory here? It's going to cost them so much money. They'll just export. By the way, the import tax on cars is almost 100%. Yes, it's going down. I think in 3 years from now, it's supposed to go down 3%, and another 10 years from now, another 10%. Like in 20 years, you know, to 15 years, it's supposed to go down like 17-18%. Like there's such cargers, they hold on, they just don't make sense. Let people come in, let them build factories, let them make industries, don't charge them so much, it's better for your economy. Now, I feel that I've always had this theory, which I think is well grounded, that the economy of the state of Israel is very similar to a certain material store that I know. There's some material, there's a material store, you know. You go into the store and you ask them for the material, they tell you it's a certain amount per yard. Let's say it's $20 per yard. Then you look at some really old stuff, the thing's dusty, it's been sitting there for years, no one's going to buy it. You figure maybe you can get a deal on it. How much is that? Oh, that's $20 per yard. Can I have it for less? No. I won't buy it. If you sell it to me for less, I'll buy it. No. Why? Because as long as it's $20 a yard, that stuff is worth $20 a yard. Even though I don't sell it, but $20 a yard. If I sell it to you for $10 a yard, I'm losing $10. I can't let it slip through my fingers. It's taking up space on the shelf. Nobody wants it. Get rid of it. Get your money back. Put in something that people want. Yeah, the people will come in. They'll see that you have your inventory is keep. You know, you have a business. But I can't sell it because I'm losing $10. And this is the point. Make the economy come alive. No, because I can't, because then we'll have to, you know, if you think about it. If you have a local corporation that's building cars in Israel, you can't charge 100% tax on those things because that's a local product. You can't charge 100% taxes on something that's a local product. Now, if somebody has a choice between buying an Israeli-made car by General Motors or somewhere, a General Motors car for $20,000, or importing some Japanese car for $36,000, because those are taxed 100%, what are they going to do? So they're not going to buy the imports. They're going to lose all the 100% taxes. It's a mentality. Hold on to it. They tax you for crazy. Income tax. The second highest bracket of income tax in Israel is someone that makes like $1,500 a month. That's the second highest income tax bracket. That's the second highest. You make $1,500, your second highest. Real estate tax. It's crazy. 50% of the country is employed by the government. One electric company. One. One bus company. One phone company. And this is the government of the people that are the wisest financial advisors the world has ever produced. What's the pshat? What's the pshat? The Teretz is Rabbi Sam. You have a Geisha kingdom. A Geisha kingdom works up your Derech HaTeva. Jews are very smart. They understand Derech HaTeva also. They're very smart in many areas. You want to know how to make money. You want to know how to have a successful business. You want to know how to run a kingdom. You get your pal as Jew. He's going to help you. And you also have a schus of a Jew. I mean, if he's a good Jew, you have a schus of a Jew. It's good all around. You come to Eretz Yisrael, God says one thing. There's no way that Derech HaTeva can work in Israel. Never. Ever. It can't. Eretz Yisrael is Olam Haba. Eretz Yisrael is above Derech HaTeva. Nothing in Eretz Yisrael works according to Derech HaTeva, which means that whatever works in Chutz Laaretz outside of Eretz Yisrael, if you try and use that same thing, it's doomed to failure. There is no way it's going to work, no way in the world. If you follow the exact formula, you know, you try something wild, maybe it'll work, wild and crazy. You use the exact, it's not going to work. The whole government's in a shambles. It's always falling down. They can't get their act together. They say Israel has like 9 million prime ministers. I don't know. Yeah. Shuma, Meiser, something grows in Eretz Yisrael. It's not Derech HaTeva. In America, tomato grows. You know what it is? It's a tomato. In Eretz Yisrael, you know what it grows? You can eat it. Tomato grows? Go eat it. Just grows out. You know, just like a monkey would eat a tomato, a person could eat a tomato. Go for it. In Eretz Yisrael, you can't eat it. I mean, it's Teva. Give me some. Yechiyah Misa for eating a tomato? Not a tomato, a grain of wheat. Tomatoes to Rabban. Yechiyah Misa, yeah. Yechiyah Misa. What am I going to do with it? Take truma from it. Okay, I took truma. Now can I take the truma, throw it out? No. Give it to the Kayin. Get the bugs away from it. They're going to be metamid. What's wrong with it? It's Kaddish. It's a tomato. Kaddish. There's no Derech HaTeva in Eretz Yisrael. Anything that grows here is on a different level. Anything that goes on here is on a different level. And the people that come are on a different level. Memela. Next Gemara. Just one more. The Gemara in the Dharm says, this is going to sound like I'm digressing, but I'm not. Okay? I'm not digressing. Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Sinai 40 days and 40 nights. He's learning the Torah. He's learning it. God teaches it to him. He learns it. God says, you got it? He says, I got it. Okay, what did I say? I forgot. Next day, same thing. Next day, same thing. He learned the whole Torah with him. What did I say? I forgot. Hayolay mitayra mishakcha. The Gemara brings a pasuk. Mimidbar matanas matana nachliya. Mimidbar matanas. Pashup Shad is there's a place called Midbar, there's a place called Matanas. The Gemara makes it Russia. That in the Midbar, Hashem gave him Matanas. Hashem gave Moshe a present. And he let him retain the Torah. Why? Because it's not natural for a physical person to be able to inculcate non-physical Torah and let it stay there. Torah is not physical. Torah is not natural. Torah is above nature. The body is a body. The two don't mix. You try and learn, it's going to go out. Kodesh Boker gave Moshe a present. He said, I'm giving you a present. even though you have no, you can't get presents. You can't go out and get a present. You know, presents have to be given. You have nothing to do with it. You receive it. You have Maaseh Kakailam with presents. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to do it. We find in the Gemara that Hillel became a Nasi. He came from, Hillel was a Bava, he moved to Eretz Yisrael, he became a Nasi. The family of the Nasiim were the B'nai B'Seirah, the children of B'Seirah. Hillel replaced them. Hillel said to the B'nai B'Seirah, you know how come I'm the Nasi? Someone from Bava has to come up to be the Nasi, and there's no one in Eretz Yisrael that could have been the Nasi. He said, because I learned Torah by the feet of Shmaya and of Talion. I lowered myself. I humbled myself. I stayed by them. I gave my life's blood into it. That's why Isaiah could be the Nasi. The Gemara held that for someone on Hillel's level, that's a chasar. Because it's a mashmai. There's like a shadow, an intonation that I did and you didn't. And that's not, you know. So then the Gemara says that Pesach came out. Pesach came out on Shabbos, and Yishech the Karm Pesach, even if it's Shabbos. But they had a Shaila. The knives weren't near the sheep, and they allowed to carry the knives to the sheep, and no one knew the answer. And Hillel knew the answer. So they went to Hillel, they said, what do you do? You know, the Shechitas Pesach is Deicha Shabbos. But is carrying the knife also Deicha Shabbos, or just the actual Shechita? And Hillel couldn't remember. The Gemara says, why? Because he forgot. Why did he forget? Because of what he said about the people. You know, how do you forget something because of bad midas? Teret says, you shouldn't remember Teret to begin with. It's not natural to remember Teret to begin with. The only reason why you can remember Teret is because God is constantly giving it to you as a present. And if you don't have the proper midas, so God says you're not worthy of this Teret. You forget it. Teret is a constant. You have to constantly acquire the Teret. That's why midas are so important. Without midas, without Yir Shamayim, then there's no Torah in the person, because Torah does not stick inside it. Torah does not stay inside. You know, either guy could say, well, Rajman says it's not Torah. He's wrong. He's got the wrong shot. I could fool you, so he's fooling you. It's not Torah. A guy with bad midas does not have Torah. He has zero Torah. Zero Torah, because God doesn't give it to him. And if he fools you, he's fooling you, and he's fooling himself. It's not Torah. Bad midas, no Yir Shamayim, not Torah. Eretz Yisrael is exactly the same way River Abai say. If we live in it, we don't live in Eretz Yisrael because, well, we got to be somewhere, and we're here, so we might, you know, everybody has a place to live, so we also have a place to live. That doesn't work in Eretz Yisrael. We have to constantly reacquire Eretz Yisrael every single moment. And that's why they keep trying to take it away from us. And now it's Mamish and Yana Diyema. Every single day, the eating away, the nibbling away, bits and pieces, the throwing us out. Like, 2 years ago, it was just they just ripped away a piece of Eretz Yisrael. They took the Mitzvah Saza. They took from people from their homes. They ripped it away from them. And it was Jews that did it. You need a bigger raya? That you need a schus to hold on to something? B'derech HaTeva, nobody would have done such a thing. No one is crazy enough to do that. Do you volunteer to rip your own citizens for nothing? Did they gain anything? Are we in a better matzav with the Arabs because of that? Do we gain anything? Shalai kederach hatava. You're going to blame the government. I'm sorry, Rabbi Say. If the government are Rishayim, they're going to have to pay. But that's not negated to us. What's negated to us is that we didn't have the schus to hold on to it. Yes, the government is wrong. We don't have to agree with them. And believe me, they didn't look at themselves as shluchim from a Kaddish Bach. But we didn't have the schus, and you don't have the schus, it just goes out, just like the memory of Moshe Rabbeinu goes out. So that's shot in the pasuk. It's called Eretz Canaan. Even when it's talking about the borders, specifically when it's talking about the borders, it's Eretz Canaan. Why do you think it's called Eretz Canaan when we're talking about the borders? Because Hashem's telling you, I'm giving it to you, these are the borders, but it's Eretz Canaan. That means it's also called Eretz Yisrael. It's called Eretz Yisrael a lot of times. You know that. Hashem is saying, you want it to be Eretz Yisrael? So then you got to live above the level of Teva. You got to live Lamala B'derech HaTeva. You live Lamala B'derech HaTeva, then it's Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael means the land of royalty. Yisrael means the land of royalty. You live in Eretz Yisrael, you are a Sar, then you can live in the land of a Sar. He said, if you don't, if you live like natural beasts, you live like monkeys, you live like beasts, you live like natural people, oh, we're just here because we're here. Let's be a nation like all other nations. So then you lose the schus to be there, and it's Eretz Canaan. It's an Eretz Canaan. It's a scary thing. It's like they, someone made a bomb that could blow up the whole world, and then they have a lever, which you have to. It takes about 5 pounds of pressure. It's on a spring, and someone says, "Hold this." You pull back the lever. You're holding it. You let go. The lever's going to spring back and blow up the world. They say, "Okay, hold it. How long I got to do this?" Well, how long do you want to live? You have to hold it forever. The minute you let go, boing, kablooey. That's Eretz Yisrael. That's Torah. And that is Shemitah. Shemitah is the one time in 7 years that we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know we're not living in a normal place. We don't earn our own living. In Eretz Yisrael, everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything comes from Min HaShemayim. It doesn't come from here. It might look like we plant, it might look like we grow, but that's just appearances. So once every 7 years, we take a break. And then the world has its true. We don't work, and we still don't starve to death. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to feed us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could even arrange a din Torah for people that are trying to take away Eretz Yisrael because they hold it's Derech HaTeva, and Al Pi Derech HaTeva, it should be theirs. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, Al Pi Derech HaTeva, it should be theirs. But Lamal Al Pi Derech HaTeva, it's not. So people that keep Shemitah, they're Lamal Al Pi Derech HaTeva, so they're going to win the din Torah. Mamish, the two things converge together in a beautiful, beautiful, beautifully woven tapestry. Merit, 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 merit